We now begin Maseches Chulin. This is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. And it's worth noting that the Masechta originally was called Shechitas Chulin, the ritual slaughter of Chulin, non-sacrificial meat. But the name of the Masechta has sort of been abbreviated simply being Chulin over time. The topic of Shechita, ritual sacrifice for, again, for human consumption, is really the topic just of the first, couple prakim. Now here in Perek All if we begin with the topic of Shechita, the pasuk that requires this says, "Vizavachta mebikarcha umitzoncha." You will slaughter your cattle and your sheep and goats. Kaasher tzivisicha, as I have commanded you. Now, there's no explicit tzivui, no explicit command in the verses. So this really is referring to a Torah Shebaal Peh, an oral tradition on how one is to do shechita, the slaughtering of animals for human consumption. And that becomes the topic of our perek here. The requirement to do this shechita, which essentially boils down to taking a sharp knife and moving it across the neck of the animal being slaughtered, to sever two pipes that go through the throat. One is the windpipe, or trachea. In Hebrew, that's called the kaneh. And one is the food pipe, or esophagus. And in Hebrew, it's called the veshet. So those are the two pipes that must be severed by a knife, in that sort of smooth motion. And that is ritual slaughter for shechita that applies to both behemoths and chayos, all the kind of livestock. It doesn't apply to fish. And birds, it's the same idea, but really one can... although one should try to do both of those two pipes, called the simanim. If one just severs one simon, one of the two pipes for bird, it's also acceptable. And in fact, if one just does the rove of the simanim, he just severs the majority of each of those two for a behemoth or just one for a bird. It's also going to be kosher in terms of the shechita. Doing that is a mitzvah from the Torah, and failing to do it, meaning eating meat that wasn't slaughtered properly, is a law from the Torah. It's a prohibition against eating what's called a nevela. So let me just make sure this is clear again. Every animal is what's called a nevela waiting to happen. If it gets ritual slaughter before it dies, instead of being a nevela, which literally kind of means carcass, it becomes a shchuta, someone which had shchita done to it. A nevela conveys tuma as well as being forbidden to eat. A shchuta does not convey tuma. It may or may not be permitted to eat. It depends if it otherwise has all the kosher elements involved. Like, for example, it's not a trefa. It's not, hasn't got sort of a defect or wound that would make it, on the way to dying. Now, the oral tradition that we have regarding shechita really has like sort of five roshei prakim, five main points. Those halachas come from Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, and they are the Sulam, the invalidations of what's called Shehiya, Durasa, Chalada, Hagrama, and Ikur. So very briefly, Shehiya means delaying. So that means the knife is supposed to go back and forth along the neck of the animal that's being slaughtered. It's supposed to be a continuous back and forth motion until the animal has its simanim severed. If one delays too long in the middle, that's called Shehiya, delaying, and that makes the Shechita invalid. We'll discuss the details in the second parak, third mission. Then you have durasa. Dores means sort of to pounce, but here in this, it means if instead of using this lateral motion of the knife side to side, one pushes into the neck to sever those simanim, instead of slicing back and forth, that is called durasa, and it's also drisa is a psul unto itself. Then you have chalada. Chalada essentially means that the knife tip gets hidden inside the neck of the animal. The concern is that it's essentially going to be, you're going to be severing the simanim like from the inside outwards and from the outside inwards, which is a psul to itself. But if simply the knife tip disappearing into the neck is already going to be a problem, a psul of chalada. Then you have hagrama. Hagrama means kind of going off, missing the mark, going off of the designated place in the neck where the shechita is meant to happen. If you do the shechita too high or too low, hagrama is also... you missed it, and it's also going to be puzzle. And finally, ikur. Ikur essentially means like tearing or ripping. So that means that certainly, even if you have like a knife which is like got a nick inside of it, so when it doesn't have a smooth cutting, when it cuts across the simanim, it pulls on the simen, it like if you have a serrated knife, all those things, that's going to be a psula to itself. And certainly if there's someone who like dragged and ripped out instead of being cut smoothly, that's also going to be ikur, and that's a psula to itself. So those are the five basic psula. Our Mishnah here is going to kind of go back to the beginning, and before we get into those details, in the first Mishnah here, it says, Hakol shochatin ushchitasin kshera, which literally means anyone can slaughter animals, and their slaughter is kosher. Now, obviously, that already becomes highly redundant. If everyone can slaughter, obviously, their shchita is kosher, and therefore, the Gemara understands there are really two separate independent dinim happening here. The first, Hakol shochatin, anyone can slaughter, means anybody who is versed in Hilchos Shechita already, they learned it, the halachas, they're baki, they're expert in them. So then they're permitted to do Shechita l'chachila, no problem. The Chiddush is, even though we haven't yet seen them prove themselves in practice, three times, because there's a possibility that a person who actually carries out the Shechita will become light-handed and faint. There's blood, it's you could imagine, probably you'd think if you tried, you probably also would faint, right? So the concern is they would get lightheaded and faint, that would cause shahiyah to happen, a delay, and that would make it invalid. So the thought is, you might think, well, you shouldn't let a person do lacharchila, do shechita, until he's proven himself that he's able to do it. But the answer is no. As long as he knows the halachas, he can do lacharchila. We're not afraid of him sort of, passing out or doing it wrong. Then ushchitas and kshera means this is after the fact, a person who we don't know ahead of time is expert in halachas. But he's shechted, and then after the fact, we check them, and we say, listen, we do like, we're bochen, we check, and they are indeed familiar with the halachas of shechita. So then also shechita is okay after the fact. And certainly that's the basic two dinim here. One is the l'chachila, and one is the bidi eved. Now, that's how Ravina learns the Mishnah here, and that's how the Mefarshim speak it out. La halacha, it's even more lenient than that. La halacha, we assume most people do shechita, the shochtim, they are familiar with halachas, and therefore we're saying, l'chachil, you can give a person even before you do any examination of them. After the fact, even if you, let's say, for example, if you can't find the person, you could still rely on the fact that he, without giving his bechina, his test, that he knows the stuff, could rely on it, because the assumption is that most shochetim are familiar and capable and halachically acceptable to do shechita. Certainly if we do find them, test them, and they actually don't know the halachas, that would be a problem. It would make it puzzle unless we have someone who observed, who we can rely upon, who said, listen, I watched the shechita happen and there was no psulim, it was done kosher. Now, hakol shochetim, everyone can do it. The Rambam, the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch say that would include women. There's no reason why women can't do shechita like men. Although the Rama says the minig is that women do not do shechita. So that would be the minig Ashkenaz for women not to do shechita. Okay. All that said, says the Mishnah, chutz mecheresh shota v'katan. These three people who show up throughout, many times throughout Shas, lack das. They don't understand the consequence of their actions, and we can't be sure that they would be able to do the shechita properly and we can rely on them, even if we test them and they know the halachas, and even if they say they're 100% sure they did it right. Still, it doesn't matter. Unless they have a third party who could sort of attest they watched and it was done right, so their shechita is simply not kosher, where we can't rely on them. These three, who are these people? So the cheresh is the deaf mute, someone who's born deaf, can't speak. We assume there's no way to get information there, so they don't have das. The shota is a person who's mentally incompetent. So this is not an issue of IQ per se. It's a person who's sort of like mentally unstable and doesn't understand the consequences of their actions. Okay, so if you give them something, they're likely just to break it or endanger themselves. They don't think through what's dangerous and so on. And finally, the katan is the minor. So someone who hasn't yet had bar mitzvah, he didn't bar mitzvah, the age of 13 years old, and having like the two pubic hairs so that he reaches full, status of being an adult. Those people, they can't. And it says the Mishnah, Shema yekalkalu b'shechitasan, lest they come to mess it up with their shechita. Now, it's a little strange. We're saying that they can't, their shechita is not okay, but that would be, and we're saying that it's not okay even b'di'evid. But if it's b'di'evid, why do they say yekalkalu, which is sort of a future tense? Should have said Shema kalkalu, perhaps they messed it up, we just didn't see. What is yikalkalu, which means they might in the future. So the way Rashi learns here, the issue is simply that you know, if we give them, let's say, you know, people might rely on them in the future. It also says the din that's to be learned out here is that even giving them the shecht for, for dogs, so giving a horse or a cow, but the shecht for a dog, to make dog food, we don't do that because people might watch and think these people know what they're doing and rely on them in the future. A kill could happen, okay? Fine, both are true. Now, says the Mishnah further, v'chulan sheshachatu, all these people, meaning whether you're talking about someone who's not necessarily familiar with the halachas, they're not baki, or someone who's a chereshot of a katan, v'achem ro'en osan, we have a third party who is familiar with the halachas, even one person, who can testify and say, yes, I saw them do the shechita, and the shechita was done right. So then, shechita san kshera, the shechita is kosher. Now, says the Mishnah further, shechitas nachri, a non-Jew who does shechita, even a non-Jew who is totally, you know, versed in the halachas, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Nevela, the product of that shechita is not a shechuta, that's not considered a halachic shechita, they're not in the category of those who can shochet, it's based on psukim. And that being the case, the carcass is a nevela, I mean, not only is it not kosher, but also umatama b'masa, it conveys tuma, as all nevelos do, as all animal carcasses do from terrestrial animals. It conveys tuma not just by direct contact, which is called maga, but also masa, bearing its weight. Okay, so in other words, if you go to the store and you're tahor and you pick up, you know, some treif, whether it's lamb chops or pork chops, inside the cellophane, so you don't actually touch it with your fingers directly, but you pick it up already, since the animal is not a kosher butchery and these are nevelas, so then it's going to convey tuma to you by bearing its weight, just by carrying the piece of meat, even though it's not touching your hand directly, because it's inside of cellophane, that kind of thing. Now, the Gemara's focus a little bit on the fact that if it's a non-Jew, we should be afraid that they're shechting specifically for avodah zarah. And if it's shechting to avodah zarah, it's worse than simply not kosher and coming tuma by masa, potentially, according to this Tana. It would be already like an issue of an offer to an idol, which is asr bahana. So it's not just not kosher to eat, it's unfit to get any economic benefit from. More than that, at least according to the Tana of our Mishnah here, who's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he holds that because avodah zarah offerings are called zivche mesim, offerings of the dead, so we treat it according, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that would be treated as if it were a mace, meaning a corpse, meaning it would convey tuma not just by maga and mas, but even by what's called ohel. Ohel means essentially being over, under the same roof as this, let's say, this dead animal. It would also make a person tummy. That's called ohel. Halacha does not follow Rudim Beseir. Halacha is like the chum, which is that, yes, there's such thing as tumas ohel, which applies to dead human beings, but carcasses, even if they're avodah zarah offering carcasses, do not convey tuma via ohel. The point of our mission, however, is that we're talking about a non-Jew who's not, who may even be like a practicing, you know, Ovid of avodah zarah, because that's what his parents did, but I'm not talking someone who is the kind of person who is likely to be slaughtering animals for bringing animal sacrifices. If he is, then it would be worse than just simply, like I said before, not kosher, it'd be actually asr bahana. Hashochet belaila, if one slaughters at night, v'chein hasuma, or one is blind, sheshachat, if they shecht, shechita so kshera, the shechita is still kosher. Again, we're talking about a situation where a person is saying, I'm 100% certain, I did it right. So that being the case, the shechita is still acceptable. There's certainly no problem, if not even the chachila problem of shechting at night time, if you have, let's say, artificial lighting. We're saying here, even without artificial lighting, the person did the shechita, you shouldn't do it, but after the fact, if they did shecht, a blind person or a night shechting, then after the fact, the shechita, so his slaughtering is in fact kosher. Hashochet b'Shabbos, if one shechts an animal on Shabbos, so that's a big problem. Uviyom Kippurim, or in Yom Kippur, also a big problem, because why? Shechita is one of the 39 malachas. So one who shechts on Shabbos is doing an Isra Torah. The penalty for that, if he does it b'mezid, would actually potentially be skila, or if there are no witnesses, karis, and if it's done shogeg, he is going to be liable at least to a chatas. The case for Mishnah here essentially is going to be a shogeg, a person shechted at b'shkaga, he didn't know it was Shabbos today, or didn't know you couldn't shecht on Shabbos, and he did. says the Mishnah, Af al pi shemischai benafsho, even though he potentially is doing a crime which is carries a death penalty, if it's Shabbos, actually really is a potential skila or by the hands of the courts, or if there's no witnesses, kares, so the divine severance of his soul. If it's Yom Kippur, there actually is no earthly execution, capital crime, capital punishment for shechita on Yom Kippur, but there is kares. Here, the pashas would actually be that, anyways, we're talking about a particular case that was shogeg. Why? Because the Mishnah ends up saying shechita so kshera. The shechita is kosher. That means even though very severe crime happened here, a person did shechita on Shabbos, which is like a lav, but is a very chomer lav. It's a chiyav karis or chiyav misa. Nevertheless, the animal is kosher for eating. So now, just we're not talking about eating it on Shabbos. The din is that if a person does a malach on Shabbos, b'shogeg even, so for the rest of Shabbos, it's forbidden to get benefit from anything. You have to push off to Motzei Shabbos, but they're suggesting you could eat after Shabbos. If he would had done this, if the guy who did the shechita on Shabbos did it b'mezid, knowing it was Shabbos and forbidden, but he did it anyways, so then for him it would be forbidden forever, a din d'rabbanan, as opposed to simply being usher on Shabbos as a din d'rabbanan to everybody. And therefore, since the mission makes no mention of that, the assumption is that we're talking about a case of a person who did a shechita b'shogeg. So we're saying on Shabbos he can't eat it. Anyway, it's going to be raw meat, probably not likely to eat. But even if you wanted to eat raw meat, you couldn't because of this dinder abundant of the malacha done on Shabbos. But after Shabbos, everyone could eat from this meat because the shechita itself is kosher, even though it was done be'isser on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur.